You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Let's just raise our hands just for a minute, okay? Father, we just thank you. I thank you, Father, for your presence here tonight, for the anointing that is here. It's so, so strong, Father. I just thank you for that. I pray, Father God, that I minister accurately what you want ministered tonight, Father, that we are going to be like sponges. I'm going to be like a sponge. And I hope everyone else here will be like a sponge, just soaking up your word, Father, and that one spoken word from you, one thing coming alive to us tonight, can change the rest of our lives. And Father, I thank you and I praise you, Father, for how good you are, how sweet you are, how much you love us and how much you care for us. And Father, I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I may go two directions tonight. Y'all bear with me. Let's turn over to Psalm 91. You know, I love the promises that we have concerning protection, and Psalm 91 is just, it's full of things that we are protected from. You know, in Psalm 23, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say that we're going to stay there, that we're going to wallow in it, but we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you know, the rod would be, a shepherd would use a rod to fight off the enemy, the wolves or bears or whatever would be after his sheep. And then the staff was something that he used to guide him. He'd just kind of nudge him along to go the right direction. So we're going to walk through that valley of the shadow of death, which our earthly life is a shadow. It is it's a darkness. It's here. That's here. And God's going to help us walk through that when we trust in him, when we trust and have his word. You know, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, in Psalms 119. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so it's important that we know what the word says, because that's how we find out the promises that God has given us. And if we don't know the promises, how can we lay claim on them? You know, God told the Israelites that he was going to lead them to a land of promise, to Canaan land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, Canaan land had, they still had people that were occupying their promises. You know, in our lives today, the devil is occupying and holding back our promises. And we have to take hold of them. You know, Michael preached back in February, and I preached right after that. And I shared some of his message because it really stirred me. But in Joshua, I've forgotten what chapter it is, but Joshua asked some of the tribes, when are you going to go in and possess your land? Because they had to go in and possess it. And God helped them. God would drive out the enemy in front of them. Think about Jericho, how that they sent a couple of men in, two or three men in, to spy out that, and Rahab harbored them because the city officials found out that there were men there from the Israelite tribe, and they had heard, I don't remember what chapter it is either, but I think like the sixth chapter, Rahab says, we have heard the stories of how your God has delivered y'all, how he led y'all through through the Red Sea on dry ground, and how people have been, armies have, and cities have fallen before y'all. And so I know that God will take care of y'all and give you our city. And so I want you to promise that you'll protect me and my family. And so they said to hang a red cloth out. Well, red would symbolize the blood. You know, when they were in Egypt, when the Israelites were in Egypt, and the plagues were coming on the Egypt because they wouldn't let God's people go. And then when the firstborn were going to be killed, God said to take blood and put it on your doorway, and that the angel of death would go over, would fly over. So that's why they celebrate Passover. It passed over them and their families. They didn't, their firstborns were not killed. And so, you know, there's a lot of symbolism in the Bible, and I'm not real smart on all of that. Michael could, you know, go up and down and backwards, upside and sideways, and tell you all the symbolism. But anyway, but Joshua asked the leaders of the tribes. Some of the tribes had not gone in and taken hold of the promises that God had given them. And so sometimes we don't take hold of those. But if we don't know what they are, then how can we take hold of them? How can we find out what it is? Well, we read the word. And so in Psalm 91, and I want to read this. I know most of you probably don't have a Message Bible with you, and I'm going to use my phone because I didn't bring that with me. But I just, you know, sometimes plain English, I never did like Shakespeare, having to read that kind of language. And, you know, I graduated high school, didn't go to college. Oh, you brought me one? All right, thank you. Okay. All right. This is a parallel with New King James and the Message. Okay, thank you. All right. It says, "You who sit in the high God's presence." He is a high God, isn't he? And we need to sit in his presence. Amen. We need to absorb his aura. His aura is maybe not a good word, but we need to absorb that anointing that is there on him. And I mean, he is the anointing. He is the one that, the high God. You who sit in the high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow. You know, if people could be healed by Peter walking by and his shadow following on them, what's going to happen if we're in the presence of God and we're in his shadow? Amen. Say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe. You know, say that. Think about that. That we're safe in his presence. We're safe because we abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, who's going to come in there if we're abiding in his shadow? Who's going to come in and try to pull us out because we're right there in his presence? Okay. I trust in you and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps. Shields you from deadly hazards. You know, I'm sure we could all give a testimony of God's protection on our lives, things that should have happened or could have happened, but yet God did something. Michael, I probably shared this back in February, but I'll share it again. It's good. Two things happened to Michael. One time when he was working, he was on the job, and OSHA would have had a fit with this, but Michael worked he was a laborer for Marley Cooling Towers. They built cooling towers in these big industrial plants, which is like a big radiator. And they were wood frames, not a lot of solid stuff. He had to learn to walk. They put 2x4s up edgeways on either side of a post, 4 feet apart. So he had to learn to carry lumber like this, you know, taking these 4 foot strides, you know, 40, 50, 60 feet in the air. They were supposed to tie off, but, you know, safety belts and all that, but they'd never made money if they had, so they just didn't obey the rules. Anyway, and this was not smart, but they had a forklift with lumber on it, and they had raised it up. It was only 10 or 12 feet high, and Michael was standing on the load, handing lumber to some of the guys. And the load broke, and it threw him up in the air. And he said, all I could do was say Jesus, and I curled myself in a ball. and he landed on the lumber, and it knocked the breath out of him, but nothing was broken. He was sore for a few days, but nothing was broken. And a few, they, you had a normal crew that you worked with, but sometimes if the work was a little low, you know, they didn't have a lot of jobs going, they'd bring other members from other crews in to work with you. Maybe, or if they had a big job, that was going to be several, you know, more than a few, just sometimes their jobs lasted a month in one location, they'd go to another chemical plant, and but then they would have some jobs that lasted several months. And anyway, there was a man that was working with them that wasn't normally on their crew. So a few months later, Michael happened to be on the same job site with him again, and he said, "Man, how are you doing after you know that happened?" And he said, "Well, you know, I was sore for a few days, but I was fine, nothing broken." And he said, "You know, that was the most amazing thing." He said, "That lumber broke, that load broke and threw you up in the air." And he said, "You came down perfectly between those forks on that forklift and never didn't hit anything." In spite of stupidity, God still protected him. Another time he was on his way to work. And if you've ever gone from Houston down toward Galveston or the coastline, you know, the land is very low and some of the roads are built up. Well, I don't remember what highway he was on exactly, but he was on his way to Freeport or Bay City somewhere. And it was a two-lane road, and there were like rice fields beside it. So it was a real drop-off from the road, from the shoulder down. And he met a car. And he said, you know, he's just minding his own business, going to work, driving down the road. And this car lost control. The driver lost control of the car, and it was coming toward him sideways, filling both lanes. And he said, "I said, Jesus." And he said, "The next thing I knew, that car was behind me. It was in my rearview mirror." He said, "I can't explain what happened." And he said that he had just passed a little convenience store, and he saw in his rearview mirror that car whooped in there, and all four of the guys jumped out and looked down the road, I'm sure amazed that they didn't know what happened either. But that was a God thing. That was God's protection on Michael. And that could have, you know, anyway. But that's just a couple of things that have happened. There's other things, you know, that God has, I'm sure we could all say, you know, God protected me. And you know, when we get to heaven, we'll probably find out a lot of other times that God's protection was on us. So, so fear nothing. Okay, it says so that's right. He rescues us from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. This sounds like a good place to abide in his presence. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, not losing your job, not mosquitoes, West Nile virus. We don't have to fear somebody coming in and taking over our homes. We have God's protection on us. We don't have to fear tornadoes landing. You know, we have shared that testimony, how there was a tornado coming down. We heard it. It was right there by our house. Michael walked out on the porch and commanded it to jump our house. And it did. It went across the highway and did damage there, but not to some empty mobile homes and an office over there, but not to our house. So those aren't specific things in the Bible, but let's relate, okay? So not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm will even graze you. You know, I read, Michael and I both love to read, and I like to get deals, good deals on books. So we shop Half Price Books a lot, and I like to go to the clearance section and, you know, get the dollar books or the $3 books and read those. Well, I found a little book that was it was published by Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and it was testimonies from their partners of miracles and things that had happened in their lives. Testimonies of financial blessings, protection, healings. I mean, there were some phenomenal testimonies in that book, and I would love to get another one. I gave mine away to somebody that needed a miracle in their daughter's body, and but there was a section in there, two or three chapters, and it was different stories about, there was one story about a commanding officer in World War, well, actually, it might have been Vietnam War. I can't remember. But he said that every morning he got up and read Psalm 91 to his men, and that he claimed that those promises, that they would be protected. And in his whole time that he was there, that he did not lose one soldier or have severe injuries with one soldier. And that when his replacement came in to take, for him to leave, that he told him what, he said, you need to read Psalm 91 to your men every single day. And he wanted to pass that along, you know, that promise, those promises. And there were other testimonies about, and I'm sure you've heard things, I don't remember all of them that were in Kenneth Copeland's this publication, but I heard a story about two men opposing, one United States officer or soldier, and one for the opposing country. I don't remember what war this was, but that they came together and met at somewhere and talked about how God had spared their lives. They were both believing for protection on their lives. Even in war, they were still believing for protection on their lives. And God spared both of their lives. And even though they were fighting, their armies were fighting each other. Okay, so those are just, I mean, you know, we limit God sometimes by how, we think that it has to happen a certain way, or it only God will do this way, but God won't, you know, how would, you know, it could boggle your mind if you really dwelt on it. If you were in the military, how is God going to protect me when I'm shooting at people, doing their job? Mindy Hilferty's sister Megan is in the military. I don't remember what branch, I've forgotten. But they shared with us a time that they were, she had such favor with her commanding officer. When they had a mission they were supposed to do, he or she, I'm not sure which, would allow her to pray about it before they deployed to do that. And they went on this mission. They were ambushed. And the guy that, you know, I'm not good on the order of, captains, lieutenants, all that. Okay. So, anyway, whoever was in command of this particular deployment wanted to, because they're supposed to destroy, they were in a tank, and they were supposed to destroy everything if instead of letting the enemy capture it. And he wanted to do that. And she said, no. God is protecting us, and we will not lose this battle. And so they won the battle. She had to fight. She had to argue with him, and he gave in to let her for them to keep battling. And she actually got an award, or got something out of that battle, because they made it. And he apologized. He apologized when they got back to the base, and told his superior that, you know, that she was the one that had held on to, because fear comes in. You know, fear can come in and take over, and you can make rash decisions sometimes. But anyway, that's, I hope I didn't butcher that story too bad. But anyway, God protected them. So even though others succumb all around, like drop like flies right and left, no harm will even graze you. You'll stand untouched. Watch it all from a distance. Watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God your very home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. That's just so good. It's so good. You know, and we can all think of things where somebody didn't make it through. But you know, we can't dwell on that. We have to look at what God's promises are, and we have to concentrate on that these are things that God has given to me. He's given me these promises of protection, of meeting my needs, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is my strength and shield. He is my strong tower. He's the God of goodness. He's a merciful God. His mercies are new every morning. You know, we sang that one of the songs that we sang. I was going to share this, let me think what it was. Which one? What was the last song? With lightnings and thunders, and I'm not afraid. We don't have to be afraid because we're covered in the blood. We're clean. We've repented, and the blood of Jesus has washed us white as snow. So we don't have to be afraid of the presence of God. He is an awesome God. And you know, in the Old Testament, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and got the Ten Commandments, there was lightnings and thunders and rumbles, and they heard God speaking. And the people, the Israelites, did not want to go up. They did not want, they said, Moses, you go talk to him. We don't want to do that. They were afraid, but they didn't have the same covenant that we have. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. And so we're clean. There's nothing that God wants to do to us because we've been, he sees righteousness. He sees his children when he looks at us. He looks at me and he says, you're my child. And he doesn't see our sins. The Bible says that he's cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. And so there's nothing, east and west never meet. You know, you can go all the way around to China and then keep going. And west is not there. It just doesn't end. It just keeps going. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. Because he has set his... And then, you know, this changes. This, the first 13 verses... are talking about God and what he does and what he, how, you know, all these promises that he's given us. And then the speaker changes. And now God is saying, because you have set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known my name. You have called upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. And, you know, Michael's been teaching on salvation in the morning, on Sunday mornings for a few weeks. And, you know, salvation is not just being born again. Salvation is, it includes healing and peace. And it includes life. Joy. So there are so many things it encompasses, that word salvation. And so he wants us to live and walk in his presence, dwell in his presence, to stand before, like tonight when we were worshiping. Could y'all sense the anointing when we were worshiping the Lord tonight? And he wants us to do that. And that can happen in your home. Yes, there is a stronger anointing when we have all of us together, a corporate anointing. But you can still experience the anointing of God in your own home by yourself. driving down the road in your car. You have to be careful sometimes driving down the road in your car, praying in the Holy Ghost. And but you have, you know, he wants us to, he just loves us so much. You know, how many of you, when you, if your parents are still alive, or when they were alive, if, or they are, you know, I mean, we've got all ages here, so some of our parents have gone on to be with the Lord, and so we don't have them, but when we, like, we live 2.5 hours away from our hometown. Well, and Michael's dad went on to be with the Lord last year, and my dad died when I was pregnant with Charity, and then Mom remarried. And but when you go see them, you don't just, oh, hi, how are you doing? It's nice to see you. You give them a hug, and you give them a kiss, and you want to sit and talk and talk about all the things that's been happening since you saw them the last time, what I haven't already rattled about to my mom on the phone. And but you want to be close to them. Well, God is our Father, and He wants us to be close to Him. Yeah. Just like we want our kids to be close to us, and we want to hug on them, and, you know, our grandkids want to hug on them and kiss on them and love on them, and you think about all the things you'd like to do for them, and that's the way God is. He is our Father, and He's made so many promises to us, and how He wants to bless us and take care of us and protect us, and He wants to see us share that with other people. And just like I was telling about the pastor's wife I had lunch with today, how she took that opportunity. You know, that could have been, that accident could have been, you know, she could have gotten out of the car, and why didn't you watch what you were doing, and, you know, my car's damaged, and I hope your insurance will pay for it. She didn't. She just loved on that lady, that other driver, just loved on her, talked to her about how much Jesus loves her. Our waitress today, young lady, been working at this restaurant 10 years. They won't let her off on Sundays to go to church. And she's married and has two little kids. And this pastor's wife said, we're going to pray over our food. Is there anything you'd like us to pray for you about? Do you have any needs today? And she said, oh, I have lots of them. And she said, well, anything in specific? I mean, she just, you know, just gently was talking to her. And she said, well, I'd like to spend more time with my family and more time with my husband. And so then she just kept talking to her and talking to her, and pray the prayer, sinner's prayer with her right there at our table. And the girl would, she would walk off. She said, I got to go do this. So she'd walk off, then she'd come back. You know, y'all are so sweet. I've never had anybody talk to me about God like this. Y'all are really sweet. And then she'd go do something, and she'd come back. And we both, after she prayed and went to get our ticket, our bill and everything, we both said we thought she was fixing to start crying there in the restaurant. But she just was listening, and she just, you know, prayed the prayer of salvation. And then this lady said, well, you need to get in a church. And my husband preaches in Spanish and English, and I'm in Kaufman. And then now this, she's a pastor's wife too, and they have a church in Wills Point. And she was just like, you need to find a good church to get into. So, you know, we need to think about that. You know, how are people seeing us? Are they seeing us as a child of God? Or are they just seeing somebody that doesn't really care? You know, so, you know, we have a commission. I say 15. We have a commission to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So we can, you know, we might not go to another country. We might not go to another state or another city, but we can be a light shining right here with all those people that we come in contact with. So anyway, so those are some of the things that God has promised us. Psalm 91, He is our protector, our shield, our buckler. And so I'm challenged to spend more time in His presence, to spend more time learning all the things that He's told us that He wants to do for us. You know, if you had $1 million and you have kids, you know, you would like to just lavish them with gifts and things, and you'd like to spend, if you had the option not to work, you'd like to go do fun things with them all the time so that they would have a good time, especially when you have grandkids, you really want to do things with them. And equate that to, and I hope that you had good parents or have good parents. You know, they're not everybody's perfect. Y'all might have heard this, Bill Cosby one time. Watched a movie, a video, and he was talking about how he wished that kids came with instructions, or that you could have them for 10 years and send them back and start all over again so you'd know what to do. Because we do make mistakes sometimes, with our kids. But we don't come with that. But we do have instructions according to the word of what our Father wants to do for us. Amen.